Hey, y'all, Uncle Jimmy here. When you speak for yourself, you're forced to think for yourself. And when you think for yourself, the sports world looks different. In order to enjoy this podcast and this show, you need to have the courage to look at the world from alternative points of view and not be offended when you disagree. Speak for Yourself isn't your Twitter, Facebook, or Instagram feed. SFY tells you what you need to hear and not what you want to hear. So, welcome aboard, buckle up, and enjoy the ride.
Let's go to New England. Roger Goodell must sit Bill Belichick down. Send him home for two games. No access to Tom Brady, no access to his assistant coaches or team owner, Robert Kraft. Accidents deserve consequences that deter bad behavior. I'm willing to accept that Spygate 2.0 is an accident. I'm willing to accept that the videographer filming the Bengals sideline was there at the behest of Robert Kraft, not Bill Belichick, and that the footage shot wasn't intended to provide the Patriots a competitive advantage. What I'm not willing to accept are consequences that fail to prevent this from happening again. The last time this happened with New England in 2007, Goodell fined Belichick $500,000, Kraft $250,000, and the league took a first-round draft pick from the Patriots. The punishment clearly didn't go far enough, because here we are again, even if it's an accident. Money and picks did not deter the Patriots. Suspending Belichick will. If New Orleans coach Sean Payton can be scapegoated and suspended a year to send a message about player safety, then Belichick can sit for two games to send a message about the league's integrity. Belichick must go two games starting this Sunday. It doesn't matter what's on the tape. It doesn't matter if Belichick is uninvolved. Goodell's job is to protect the integrity of football. He can't make this decision on Spygate 2.0 and Belichick in a vacuum. All things must be considered. Context matters. Just as Peyton's punishment for Bountygate was about far more than defensive coordinator Greg Williams' too aggressive pregame speeches and cash shared for big hits, so too should the sanctions be for Spygate 2.0. The Patriots just screwed up in the year. Replay review, Al Riveron, and NFL officiating have hurt the perceived integrity of competition. Every Sunday night and all day Monday, football fans have been forced to debate the role of officials. With his offseason tantrum over an alleged blown call in the AFC Championship game, Peyton put pass interference, replay review, and officiating in the crosshairs. It's collateral damage. Harsh discipline of Belichick might be one more unintended consequence of outrage in the Big Easy. Belichick has to sit two games, four games, the entire playoffs. The Patriots do not deserve the benefit of the doubt. It was revealed in the original Spygate investigation that the Patriots advised scouts to say they needed the footage for a team show. That's the exact excuse being offered 12 years later. This is about protecting the shield. I know people in New England will hear this as hatred of the Patriots. I do root against the Patriots. I'm a Chiefs fan. I want the Patriots dynasty to end so that my favorite team can win it all. Having said that, I have a great deal of respect for Kraft, Belichick, and Brady. I admire the way they compete. I admire the way Belichick constructs his teams, holds everyone accountable, and to the same standard. Even in the aftermath of this latest controversy, my respect and admiration for Belichick will remain. But my loyalty? That's to football and the NFL. Belichick must sit down. All right, joining this desk now are Fox Sports NFL analysts LeVar Arrington and TJ Houshmandzadeh. Marcellus, get us rolling.
Yes.
Does Roger Goodell have no choice but to suspend Bill Belichick?
Oh, Roger Goodell has a choice, and it's to not suspend Bill Belichick. I disagree with you, Jason Whitlock. You stood on the platform of integrity. And in this situation, if we're going to look through the lens of integrity, then you have to absolve Bill Belichick of guilt. One, you even stated it. Even if Bill Belichick is uninvolved in this and won't get the positive consequences of them taping the sideline, that phrase right there will give me reasonable doubt that Bill Belichick deserves to be the poster child of this situation. Part two, you said it doesn't matter what's on the tape. Okay, if it doesn't matter what's on the tape, then how is that going to benefit Bill Belichick, who didn't direct these services to film the sidelines? And part three, just by the framing and terming of this as Spygate 2.0, I would like to introduce into evidence my platform. You are trying to convict him on double jeopardy. You are trying to get this guy convicted of the same crime by trying him twice.
You got OJ. Yeah, hey, I'm no. for that.
Well, OJ was different. OJ went to go get his own stuff.
You're not being charged for the same crime, the same thing. It's something different.
What?
Same thing, but something different.
This is not
which is,
different.
Which is you know the same why? Thing as OJ. But go ahead. But go ahead.
This is the situation. No one knows what was on the first Spygate tapes. I dare you. Say something, anybody. No. You know why? Because they burned them things. So don't put that all on Belichick, even though he took his suspension, his fines, and his penalties. Now, in this situation, we're saying because they weren't severe enough to deter this franchise from doing something, let's go get him as the face of the franchise once again. I say not guilty.
I'm surprised you didn't use the Scarface or Godfather deal in your Whitlock for the first one, because it would have been relevant to this situation. If you're looking at how things are structured, I call it living through layers of protection. I think you do have to do some type of correctional deal with Belichick, and with Belichick directly, and not just being a fine, which can be assumed to be a slap on the hand. If you do suspend for however many games, you're piercing the layers of protection. And I think that it sends a message. We have to change what our mousetrap is, because now they got the boss. So if you're in a situation where, you know what, I'm going to have my street soldiers do what they're going to do, and if they get in trouble, you better not tell on us, right? You go down, you take the consequences, you go where it's supposed to be. So you could sit there and say, all right, you know, at first I'm sitting there like, you got to take action against the production company head, whoever was in charge. But then I started thinking to myself, even if you can deny saying I had nothing to do with it, we did nothing about it, or there's nothing for us here, like handle that with Robert Kraft. You are living within the layers of protection. And I think for as many times as it's happened with the New England Patriots, I think you do make a statement if you suspend Belichick.
You have to make a statement. Like, number one, prior history. Number one, your prior. What you think Bill gonna say? Oh yeah, we was taping a sideline. Of course he's gonna say I had no involvement. That's Listen, they're gonna beat Cincinnati regardless. But this is what people aren't taking into account. The Cincinnati Bengals head coach is Zach Taylor, first year head coach. They don't have a vault, a library, a catalog of his signals and signs. He hasn't been caught. He probably did the same thing to Sean McDermott. He doesn't have to do it anymore. He hasn't been caught because they don't play any new first-year head coaches. Brian Flores, he comes from the Patriots. I already know what he does.
They can't change their signals. They can do new signals.
We've all been on the team.
Right.
Are there 11 guys on the team smart enough when you change the signals where they won't mess it up? You know there's going to be three or four that don't get it. So you're going to keep the signals the same.
Right.
So they don't have a library and a catalog on him. Something has to be done. Oh, I had no involvement. If you had no involvement for the first quarter, it's been reported, first 7 or 8 minutes, the camera's on the Bengals sideline. Why? You tell me, what does that have to do with the Do Your Job series that goes on.com?
Oh, you looking at me?
No, I'm just a rhetorical question.
Because I'm not so on the sideline, even my son over there.
I'm saying, Belichick knows he's supposed to say, no, I had no involvement in this. And Roger Goodell was very, very reactionary when it comes to players and their discipline. You need to be very reactionary when it comes to this, so you can endear yourself to the players. You can't let this slide.
Look, there's a culture in New England, because there's one organization that has Deflategate, Spygate, and now a second Spygate. There's just one organization. And there's a culture there of pushing the envelope. Again, the NFL had a problem with bounties, player safety, and they wanted to go after the Saints and Sean Payton and Greg Williams to hold up as a sign to everybody else in the league.
Don't do it.
They got scapegoated.
They did.
Belichick must be punished harshly. I like him. I respect him. First ballot Hall of Famer. Greatest coach of all time. Wish he coached the Chiefs. He's got to go. Sean Payton, great coach in the aftermath of Bountygate. Love him. Hope the Cowboys sign him or whatever. Great coach. But sometimes you have to go after these top dogs to undermine a culture that is clearly there in New England of pushing the envelope. And I don't care if Robert Kraft cries until the cows come home, Belichick has to be punished.
Well, I don't think these are analogous situations when you talk about the culture of New England and the gates. And then the culture of New Orleans isn't Bounty Gate. They just are the ones that got caught with that situation. And they got exposed, and the penalties were heightened because of the backdrop. You got to know the circumstances. The circumstances, player safety, health initiatives, billion-dollar lawsuits going down the pipeline for medical and concussion. Yeah. So, therefore, the NFL was incentivized to actually step out and even egregiously apply penalty. Please, anybody tell me where the NFL's integrity, other than in words, is being compromised to the tune of billions of dollars being exposed, and that they have to go now and give a harsh penalty to the Patriots.
I'll take a stab at that. The integrity is at stake when you're talking about the most successful team has these things continuing to come up. I would say that would be my way of looking at it. And if I'm Roger Goodell and I'm the NFL and I'm saying to myself, okay, I know, we all know that every team is trying to get a competitive edge. There may be, I mean, we're talking about them being egregious by going into a place where they're being monitored, but be clear, you probably have guys that are in the stands that are filming the sideline and getting those signals just as much as somebody is getting it from a press box. So people are trying to get competitive edges. But when you're talking about the integrity of what this game represents and moving forward, this is even bigger than Bill Belichick, because now if Bill Belichick and the New England Patriots can continue to get away or slide by or not be connected to it, disconnect from it, then now you're starting a trend. And once you start having other people try to copycat and mimic what you're doing, I think it leaves room for creating a narrative that could certainly compromise money, could certainly compromise the integrity of how things are being operated. Hey, look,
the integrity, TJ's point about player integrity and credibility with players, because players are certainly, Vontaze Burfict is at home right now because he was part of a culture that couldn't follow the rules as relates to helmet hits. He's sitting at home for the entire year. Antonio Brown is sitting at home right now, unconvicted of any crimes. And so for the integrity of the players and for respect with the players, let alone the fans who spend every Sunday and every Monday talking about officiating and hey, what's really going on here? Why is this being overturned and this isn't? Belichick, I'm sorry. It's time for you to come and pay your penance and be the face of Roger Goodell taking a shot here at restoring some of the credibility of the NFL.
Even if he didn't do it, though.
They used up
all their mulligans. Mm. You cannot keep doing, I don't care if you knew. It doesn't matter.
Right.
You're in charge. Everybody else under you has to fall in line. And if you have to fall on the sword because they messed up, that's just what it is. You can't keep saying, oh, I didn't know. You did know, and
you did know.
It's okay.
That's not admissible in court. You did know.
Everybody in the league is trying to get an advantage.
Okay.
Houston Astros in Major League Baseball. They got caught recording signs.
Yeah, they did. Electronic.
You're a good team regardless. You're probably going to make the World Series regardless.
Okay.
But you feel a lot better when you know what's coming.
I have two things to retort. One, psychologists would tell you that rules don't deter behavior. The consequences do.
No, exactly.
Wait. Oh, I knew y'all was going to walk right into it. Walk right into it? This is how Johnny Cochran got him off. Telling you, y'all celebrating right now. But guess what? What have been the consequences of the New England Patriots bending the rules in terms of integrity? I will give you examples. We have named not one, but two GOATs in New England while they've went through a tuck rule, which took 30 minutes on the field, Spygate 1, Deflategate, and now Spygate 2.0, and we have now anointed two GOATs. My point is,
if I can get those consequences, my consequences are I'm the GOAT, I'm going to keep doing it.
But you got to look at it from the NFL's perspective. The public speaks the loudest, and the public has anointed them as goats. So what consequences of integrity have occurred if the public, knowing what LeVar said, they probably cheating, and still says, despite them cheating, we have now anointed two goats? Why would you now in the NFL want to put a heavy penalty on something that hasn't been
because
negative?
The benefit of the doubt is now gone.
Is it?
Yes.
It should be.
Not for me on this one.
This is the look, I'm always going to respect this dude because I think what he has done is unique, and I think what he's done has been incredible. But in terms, does this dude push the envelope? Has he created a culture where, hey, Aaron Hernandez, you want to come play for us? And yeah, we heard some rumors about you off the field. A.B., yeah, we just saw you put a clown suit on John Gruden and Mike Mayock. We know, we read the undefeated story. You're a very questionable character. Come play for us. This has to stop.
Point. That's the point. You know why you guys have a list? Because it doesn't matter. Y'all have a list
until
of all this.
Until it does.
Hey, and you know what's funny,
it
though?
Won't.
The Patriots, it always, the Patriots get away. Oh, they can sign them. If it don't work, they'll just release them. They're the Patriots.
It's the Patriot way. And look, we have all pled guilty to allowing the Patriot way, which includes this, to us turning a blind eye to their success.
And to LeVar's point, though, they're the face of the NFL. Huh? They are the cream of the NFL.
And they've been there.
You can't have all this taint on the top of your program.
That sounds great. That sounds great in bylaws. That sounds great as conjecture. Give me physical evidence. And I'm talking about at the gate, fan support. I'm talking about how people revered this team, this organization. No consequences. Therefore, the NFL is going to come down with a slap on the wrist.
I think really quickly, two things. One, if somebody did a tell-all book at some point and the NFL did not take the proper steps to
address
make sure they address it, that could be damning at any point in time for that company, for one. But I'll say for two, you do not want this to become a copycat trend. So it now becomes a bigger issue of integrity, because if you can continue to get away with those things, then why wouldn't these other teams start investing their resources
and
being able to get around
it? Okay, and let's say you catch another team red-handed doing something wrong.
And you punish them.
And you punish
them. You can't.
The first thing they go, oh, okay.
Yeah.
Belichick and them walk, but we get beat up like this. There's no way the NFL can let this stand. Belichick can't walk here. He'll still be the GOAT after this is over, but they better sit his ass down.
All I know is $500,000 fine for Belichick, $250,000 organization, first-round pick.
All the money they done made, that's...
I know it's chump change. That's my point. Here's the thing. So success is the ultimate survivor. So y'all keep talking about, oh, it's going to become copycat. We've all grew up in adverse situations or been around people who have told the line, if not crossed the line. It's not so contagious. The osmosis doesn't occur. I have seen a lot of people cross the line. I'm like, I stay over here because that's who I am. There may be another team or two that tries to do this. How about this? There probably are teams that are doing this currently.
Why did they put the earpiece? The earpiece in the middle linebacker's ear to deter people from stealing the defensive signs when you went no huddle?
True.
They thought that would stop it.
It's not.
That's why they did it. Didn't put them on an even playing field with the offense. They knew everybody was going no huddle, still in the defensive people's signals.
If this isn't addressed, the media narrative, it will be a running joke. It's no different than any time if LeBron James wants to address injustice again, he's going to hear about China.
Yep.
Moving forward.
And he's still going to be the king.
Yeah. But, and if the NFL, this will be a constant narrative, the cheating Patriots, unpunished, unrepentant. We got to go. I don't want to go. But again, there's the ownership has some PR issues resulting from, this is in the best interest of Bob Kraft and the entire NFL to punish Belichick harshly. The money, the draft picks aren't enough. The only thing you can do to some certain people is playing time. Mm. Take the game away from them, and then they'll stop.
Seventh ring is coming.
Stick around. Whitlock and Wiley, LeVar Arrington, and TJ Houshmandzadeh are back. Time now for a big story. Let's move to Dallas, where Jason Garrett's future remains up in the air, with Dallas fighting to make the playoffs in a very disappointing year. Jerry Jones has given Garrett a public vote of confidence, but the NFL's network's Jane Slater reported recently that Jerry and Stephen Jones had actually met with Urban Meyer about the job. Today, Jerry was asked on his weekly radio appearance if he could confirm the report.
I can confirm that it is absolutely not correct. We have not met with any coach, not met with any. Specifically, why in answering that question, I don't want to imply that we wouldn't in a way that would diminish the credibility of, in this case, a player or somebody you're asking about. Normally when somebody says, have you met with such and such, are you interested in such and such, and you said, I have not, its implication is you're not interested. That shouldn't be brought forward either.
Walk that
could
back.
Well, could it be any more clear? He's interested in Urban. We just haven't met yet.
Right. Thank
We've
you.
Talked,
yeah.
but we
okay.
ain't met yet.
Met. Bingo. Met. Bingo. Right.
And so would Urban Meyer fix the Cowboys?
Yeah, he could fix the Cowboys. Urban Meyer is in a unique position. You talk about his success at the collegiate level. There's no downside to going to try and swing for the fences and being the Cowboys head coach. It won't compromise any opportunities going forward in case he fails as the Cowboys coach and turns out to go back to the collegiate ranks and be a college coach. So no downside, no negative. But then because he's Urban Meyer, he can actually ask for organizational change to structure. He can actually say, I need a GM. And matter of fact, I either need to be the GM or I appoint him. And we have precedent of this, and successful precedent. And you talk about what's happening with the San Francisco 49ers right now, Kyle Shanahan, along with John Lynch, and 6-year matching deals appointed at the same time, hand in hand. Let's do this together collectively. And that's how you empower your head coach, which is the issue in Dallas right now. So can Urban Meyer do it? Absolutely. Not only with his coaching acumen, but because of the demands he can place because of how big a name he is.
Would Urban Meyer fix the Cowboys? Yes, but no. The answer is no. He could, in theory, with everything that you just said, Marcellus, which I think makes a ton of sense. And I have that in my discussion points. But as the CEO, you're the CEO basically in college. You're able to appoint everybody that surrounds your category, your football community. He comes into a situation at Dallas where that environment is owned by Jerry Jones. Mm-hmm. So that is that's the first issue right there why I check off a box for no. Can he appoint somebody at GM? I'll check that box off. No. Will it create friction by him trying? Because it's interesting that you said process and structure, because that's exactly what Urban is able to do. He's successful at putting the proper structure and organization. He organizes so well and runs it so well that he is able to have success. I do not think that the things he would need, the concessions he would need to be made for him to be successful in Dallas, would not be readily available to him.
Mm. I think we're all in agreement that he'll fix the Cowboys. You look at Urban Meyer going from Bowling Green, successful, Utah, successful, Florida, successful, Ohio State, successful, where the Cowboys are struggling, their coaches don't make adjustments. You look really at their last two games, they score an opening drive, yep. And then they're pretty much shut out until garbage time the last game, and then Buffalo, they don't score again. Mm. Piggybacking on Marcellus, I don't believe Jerry Jones is going to let you appoint a GM. That he's just not going to give up that power. Where you can probably try to work it out is, if there's any disagreement on personnel, I'm Urban Meyer, I'll make that call. If we disagree on anything, you agree to that. I make that call. If you ever want to bring a player in and I don't like it, let me make that call. But other than that, if we're on the same page.
That's him as GM. That's saying Urban Meyer's GM then.
But how many times would they disagree?
Mm. A lot.
They might be as
Bill Parcells.
Johnny Manziel be the quarterback right now if Steven didn't disagree with Jerry.
And that's where Urban Meyer should have the say-so to say, I don't think we should go down that path. And Jerry, if you want Urban Meyer because his name and his accolades and what he's done,
you gotta
he's going to earn that.
Person. Yeah.
Look, I've been disappointed with Jerry Jones this season, but overall, I think Jerry Jones is amazing. And he's amazing, and the reason why he's had the success he's had is because I think he has the ability to change and be flexible.
Right.
And I think that he's got a whole new set of information. He sat there and was like, man, I paid for a Super Bowl team. and I'm getting 500 results.
Maybe a playoff team.
Less than right now, right?
Playoffs.
And so I think that will humble him enough to be like, hey, Urban, okay, I'm going to be president, but you're going to run this thing. I'm owner, president, whatever, but you run this thing and go ahead and get you a GM or whatever you believe in. I think Jerry will back up because I think he just wants to win again. And his sales pitch to Urban Meyer is, hey, look, me and Jimmy Johnson didn't last forever, but we did have some success. The last time I went out and got me a big-time college football coach, we won 2 Super Bowls, and we built something so good that even a clown like Barry Switzer could win a 3rd Super Bowl.
Oh, y'all wrong.
And lasting forever, Urban Meyer has shown you, he don't want to be in one place too long anyway. And so it doesn't have to last forever.
You know, when I was in Washington, we had Coach Turner, all right? Norvy. He was moved out, and he was moved out because of the very reasons we're talking about Jason Garrett. Didn't control the locker room, felt as though the owner's voice was a little bit too strong over top of his, dismissed him. They brought in the perfect explanation, the perfect solution in Marty Schottenheimer to change the team. Took that control. Everything we're talking about. Let me handle this. Let me handle that. We went 0-5 for the first part of that season. But it was a good 0-5. It wasn't a bad 0-5. Mm-hmm. It was a good 0-5.
What you mean?
Yeah. We were adjusting. I'm going to get to it.
What you talking about, Willie?
Ended up being the first team to ever go 5 straight after losing 5. The purging process was taking place.
How about the year?
What was the last 6?
We missed the playoffs by 1 game.
Oh, that counts.
We were above 500, or we were at 500. Mm. But here's the thing. When he was doing what he needed to do, because turning cultures around like Jerry Jones has created in Dallas is like turning around a cruise ship. You can't just turn on the dime and change what Jerry Jones has become during the duration of time. The end result was they couldn't handle how much control Marty had during the course of that year and got rid of him. Not because of a lack of structure, not because of a lack of results. They got rid of him because they did not want to deal with what comes along with a coach that will put in a winning, successful, proper process. And that's what's going to hold Jerry back from a proper coach.
My example, they did turn it around. It was not a cruise ship either. It was a little speedboat. Y'all remember the 49ers last year? I know they had injuries and stuff. They were 4-12, y'all. These suckers is rolling right now. And
they don't have a Jerry Jones.
Thank you.
But now I could get into the whole Marty and GM dynamic. And that happened in San Diego, 14-2. GM beefing with head coach.
I remember
that. We had to fire head coach after going 14-2. So this dynamic could go a lot of different ways. But if you're Jerry Jones.
Who was that head coach? Who was that head coach?
I can go there with you.
But
if you want to change the status quo, Jerry, change the status. It can't say owner/GM. It has to say Urban Meyer is empowered to have that person have controls of the organization in football matters. So therefore, the Cowboys just kicked the kicker. I mean, cut the kicker. That they just had a beef over. And then the point is, those are unnecessary distractions. And they're pulling on both ends of the same problem. So you need someone to step in and say, Jerry, you want the same situation or you want something different? You want something different? We have to do it different. Urban Meyer, appoint the GM like in San Fran. It may work.
And I think Jerry's willing to do something different.
After this year.
After the results. I mean, again, you have to change. And I just
What is that different? That's the problem. I think Urban's process is compromised.
Go back to Urban Meyer on Colin Cowherd's couch 6 weeks ago.
I remember.
When he was asked.
That was like 3 weeks, huh?
You got to entertain it.
It's a Cowboys.
He said you got to entertain it. So, again, these thoughts, conversations, maybe they haven't met. But Urban Meyer is nobody's fool. He's nobody's puppet. He's, you know, just as strong-willed as Jimmy Johnson. So Jerry knows what he's getting into, and I think this is a path down the right direction. Turn over control to a highly qualified football person of high integrity and watch the results. LeVar Arrington is back. We're joined now by Fox NFL analyst Greg Jennings.
DJ.
Let's move to Philadelphia, where the Eagles kept their playoff hopes alive. coming back from down 14 at halftime to beat the Giants in overtime. Philly looked lost to start the game before Wentz got the offense going and the defense shut out Eli Manning in the second half. At 6-7, the Eagles are now tied with the Cowboys for the AFC East lead with a huge matchup with Dallas looming in Week 16. All right, Marcellus, think Carson Wentz is good enough to get the Eagles past the Cowboys in the NFC East?
No, I don't think he's good enough. I don't think this team is good enough. I don't think they're healthy enough to get past the Cowboys. All this fighting, this fourth quarter comeback and overtime gritty win, I'm not going to let that take me away from focusing on the lack of production. This is a team on a three-game losing streak. And took overtime to beat a team that didn't even score in the second half on a backup quarterback who was damn near retired. Oh, this is just bad to watch. It's really ugly football, especially in that division where they're just running backwards to the finish line. So I don't think that they have more than the Cowboys. I see more talent still with Dallas.
Yeah, I'm with you. I don't think Carson Wentz has enough. And here's why. You talk about the injuries. It's because of the lack of personnel that he has at his disposal. Like, is he a good quarterback? I do believe he is a good quarterback, but he's not good enough to elevate the other's lack of personnel or what he does not have. He's just not. When you end the game with one receiver and Zach Ertz is your guy, don't get me wrong, phenomenal tight end, one of the best in the game. But the Cowboys, just personnel-wise, they outweigh them. And when you look at the quarterbacks, they're awash right now, the way they're both playing. So I just don't think
Hold on, Greg, before you go. Uh-oh. What about schedule?
Yeah,
Cowboys have to play the Rams.
I get that. Yeah. I don't know if the Eagles can win a game against
the
any.
The Redskins and the Giants?
Dolphins and the Giants we just saw.
Look what just happened.
Eli going to get warmed up now.
The Giants got them at home next time around.
Hello.
Hey,
yeah.
That's my discussion point. First of all, he doesn't have to be a Superman the rest of the way because they have an easier road to hoe versus what Dallas has to do. That's first and foremost. Secondly, the one thing that we're not bringing into consideration here, and we just discussed it on the last segment, was the inability of Dallas to adjust and adapt during the course of a game. Now, if I'm giving a coaching a grade or a coaching matchup, who's going to win, Peterson or Jason Garrett?
I'm
going with Peterson. And the reason why I'm going with Peterson is at least you have a coach that the players are respecting, are still playing for, and trying to get it done with not such a difficult schedule. So this is more about let nature take its course versus Carson Wentz having to be a Superman of sorts for them to win the NFC East.
Yeah, I agree with that point, and let's connect it all the way. Jerry Jones and the Cowboys are hunting for their next head coach. Well, we just heard. So they moved on to next season, and y'all think Dallas is going to hold on? If the ownership is giving up and is looking at old Urban Meyer, why wouldn't Tyron Smith and DeMarcus Lawrence just be like checking their golf schedule for the offseason?
Nah.
They're not going to get hurt. They're not going to get hurt.
Yeah, one, Dallas is healthier than what we saw with this. And losing
Philadelphia.
Philadelphia. Look at the offensive lineman, Lane Johnson, going down. There are issues all around.
Across the board.
Throwing to who next game going forward? They were narrowly focused for this game. You know, we were on a three-game losing streak, including Miami. Oh, you know what? We're ready for this. Our future's in front of us. We control our own destiny. And they put up that performance, double in time of possession, 42-21, and still – that needed overtime to beat the lowly Giants. 2-for-12 on third down. The Eagles held the Giants and still needed overtime? That's bad football.
Yeah, and you talk about the schedule, and I get it. We talked about the schedule a few weeks back, like 3 weeks back, and we mentioned the easier path was with the Eagles. But we were automatically saying, yeah, because they'll beat Miami, they'll beat the Giants, they'll beat the Redskins. But we don't know what we're going to get from week to week. With either one of these teams, I just trust Dallas better. And I get it. The coaching, yes, Doug Peterson got the advantage. But if you don't have personnel, I don't care how good of a coach you are. Look at Belichick.
All right, no, your answer. Now, so what you're saying is they're going to win this Sunday. They're going to beat the Rams this Sunday?
Yes.
You're saying yes.
Yeah, I'm gonna say that now until you do the Rams segment.
I mean, when you okay, cause, if cause you pose that
being your question, I don't recall that.
They're gonna do the Rams segment.
I don't recall that being your answer.
The Rams segment.
Because but they got a tiebreaker.
You better give me my bottle right now. You think that's gonna happen?
I don't believe they're gonna beat the Rams. I like the Rams.
Okay, well, we still got a tiebreaker. And this is a trust conversation. Let's go trust. This is the same Eagles team that has lost to Atlanta, Detroit, Miami, and then they even lost to Dallas the first time.
But now have the playoffs on the line, though.
Oh,
they have the playoffs been on the line. The division's been on the line.
But they truly have it on the line. In a very weak, in a very, very weak.
It was on the line against Miami. Remember?
It is a weak division.
You know what? I'm starting to flip, though, to be honest.
Come on.
Division.
I'm going to tell you why.
We're going to feel that.
I've been saying this. I said it all last year.
Come on.
They're still satisfied from winning the Super Bowl.
Mm.
The only one that's not is Carson Wentz.
Yes. Yeah. Everybody else is still saying, hey, we did our job. Mm-hmm. We're heroes and legends here in Philadelphia.
Statues.
It doesn't matter.
Dallas won't win this weekend. That gives them a game up. Eagles will win this weekend against the Redskins.
Yeah, you hate the Redskins.
I really don't. I really don't. And they've been playing some pretty inspired
football.
They
have.
Yeah, okay?
So they have been improving.
That's why right? I don't even
but
I don't
they
think
haven't
it's
been
a
winning.
Layup for the Eagles.
He said they've been improving.
Right. LeVar Arrington and TJ Houshmandzadeh are back with us. Time now for Darnell's question of the day. All right, take it away, homeboy.
Yes.
Sir, let's move to your guy, Whitlock.
Yeah.
OBJ.
Oh,
there's been reports out there that Odell has been telling anyone who will listen that he wants out of Cleveland. But apparently, Odell is now trying to make things right, giving the entire Browns team pairs of his signature shoe as a gift. Reportedly, Odell has never really fit in Cleveland, with one source saying, quote, he's lost. Fame got to him. He made bad choices, and now he has to redeem himself. And the road to redemption isn't an easy one when you have an ego. So I want to ask you guys, do you like Odell's attempt to make amends with his team?
Not with the signature shoes, unless he's playing with a group of 12-year-olds who are all fans of his. He's playing with a bunch of other grown men. I don't think they really care about his signature shoe.
Wow.
I don't like this. No.
Wow. One, if I were on a team and my teammate had a signature shoe, I actually have done that. Bruce Smith, yeah, give me some of them shoes. At Beast Alternative, don't give me Jack and you a superstar and you could just mail them in by the hundreds, if not boatloads. I think this is a good thing. And for those anonymous sources and others who
shoes
are trying...
Shoes are ugly, too.
They ugly now. I ain't saying I'm a keeper. They going to my cousin.
There you go. See, there
I
you
got
go.
A cousin.
There you go.
Oh, my cousin wearing them. I ain't wearing them. But the thing is, it's a good gesture. And two, everyone's dealing with the shrapnel of Odell and the Browns and what's up with Baker and Odell. So guess what? Hey, guys, let me hook y'all up. And please don't think I'm trying to kiss up to y'all because I've done this before. Y'all know about Casper Company. I used to work with him. Odell works with him.
The
mattress. He did this for the Giants. Gave them all, every one of them. And they were sorry, and he wasn't kissing up, and he was the man. He just hooked up everybody because that's what you do when you got it. Go in my garage right now. I got some stuff for my cousins. It's just a hookup. You gave me Casa Dragones. You ain't kissing up. You just looking out.
I paid for that Casa Dragones.
That's on you. You should stop talking about him.
I paid for that Casa Dragones. Odell's giving away free stuff that he gets free.
And that's
it's all part of his marketing ploy. If I was invested in Casa Dragones and was giving it out to you, I'm not. Hell no.
You should be now.
I know. All that.
And I do authentic stuff.
I played in the league.
Yeah.
I like and it. Not once did I ever see a teammate get the entire team a gift, whether it was from their allotment, whether it was from their own pocket. I never saw it.
Yeah,
not
that's
one
true.
Time.
Me well, y'all love I never saw love free stuff.
I never saw it one time.
Not the whole team.
Not the whole team.
Their position.
I always bought my position and took care of the staff, like the trainers and the equipment people and the secretaries.
You know what your wife thinks when you bring home flowers?
Oh, yeah, you're right. What's that?
You know what your wife thinks when you bring home flowers?
What's that?
Oh, I wonder what he did now.
Oh. No, she don't. She said, what off-ramp he get off on this time to hook me up?
He must have had some cash in his pocket.
Yeah, $5 on him.
I wonder. That's what this screams.
I like what he did. I like what he did because, again, whether they keep the shoe or wear the shoe or not, their kids are probably fans of OBJ,
Reach.
Whatever it may be, cousins, family members. So you have a stocking stuffer that came from the person himself to give as a gift, for one.
Yeah.
But for two, for him to even give the thought, because here's the thing. We're condemning the dude for giving.
I'm not condemning.
Well, it sounds like you are. You're condemning him for giving a gift. But if he didn't give a gift at all, y'all like, oh, he wants out of Cleveland.
I'd give a more authentic gift is all I'm saying.
I mean, for me, it's...
You mean...
I don't really see the big deal. Like, he gave the shoes, and it's what you said. There's not ever been one player that just, I'm going to give the entire, like the quarterback. He'll just get the offensive lineman some.
Yep.
He won't even get the running back some, and he's back there protecting him.
Yep.
And so I see it. It didn't come out of his pocket, but it's just a thought. And you see,
thought that counts.
Oh, he has an ego. Everybody has an ego, man.
Look.
The guy that's an anonymous source has an ego.
That's why he didn't put his name on it.
So everybody has an ego. Like, it's just really crazy how Odell Beckham, man, how he gets picked on so much.
You can't win either way.
He can't win.
You're only talking about me, TJ.
No. It's other people that pick on
me.
Like, everybody you talk to that knows this guy says he's a genuine person.
Oh, he is.
I'll vouch for that.
He's a nice dude.
He is.
So he's needy. He's emotional.
That's okay.
He's a distraction.
He's not a distraction. When you're losing, and your quarterback can't get you the ball.
Hello.
And it's 4th and 4.
In Cleveland.
And you don't know to go to your best player. I'm needy too if it comes
in
to that.
Cleveland.
Needy and emotional. I don't like grown men controlled by their emotions.
All right, can I answer this in a short story? At the ESPYs a few years ago, Odell's a rock star. Like, there's a lot of athletes out there, and then there are a few rock stars. For whatever reason, this dude is super powerful and super famous. So my daughter's there. Now, this is the ESPYs. Everybody's walking by us. We're doing our show out there. Who cares to my daughter? She's 20 years old. She look, wow, I don't care. Odell walked by. I saw it. I'm like, baby, do you want the picture?
Yeah.
Yes, daddy. And guess what this dude did? Now, Odell and I are friendly, but we ain't deep. Made the beeline, hooked up, daughter, getting killed, all that stuff. The thought that counts. Look, there was a lot of other stars who was like, hey, I'm busy, I'll call you back.
Marcellus.
I like Odell.
I'm
going to
keep it 1,000% real. I'm not trying to be inappropriate. Odell Beckham Jr. is 27 years old. Your daughter's 20 and very attractive. It's not hard for her to catch the attention of a superstar.
Man, that dude wasn't looking at my daughter. She is fine. But look at her daddy, though. Daddy,
those are facts.
Look at my features. But he wasn't going to stop unless I stopped him. And more importantly, he stopped. Because you know I get, even if you know somebody, sometimes they be like, look, dog, catch you on the next.
He's a nice person.
He's a good dude, man.
Your daughter doesn't have a problem getting young men to stop.
Yeah, but he didn't see her. He saw me. And I got a problem getting young men.
So you saying you think he didn't see her.
You know what? You think he was me in the league. He saw her. I got another story. No.
Scratch that.
Don't leave that man alone. He gave out some free shoes.
To the whole team.
To the whole team. Look, and you mad?
And there's probably more than that.
What is it? You're not satisfied?
No, I want something. You know what? If Odell wants to give a gift to the team, be less needy. Control your emotions. Conduct yourself as a professional at all times.
What don't has he be done a distraction.
This year,
where it's a distraction.
This ain't the whole thing. Showing up to the game with a watch on and complaining about
that. The first person
all
to do
my
that.
Knees and blah blah. All the little complaints. I'm a victim this. I'm a victim that. That's infected the entire team.
How many games
team.
Have you watched this year where you Thank see you. At least half of the skilled players with their pads 4 to 5 inches above their knees and nothing happens?
Thank you. And people have worn watches before him, so why is this now the biggest story in the world?
Because being a victim. That's my whole problem. OBJ is a victim. The NFL's picking on me, everybody. And now, Baker, you go tell him the trainers didn't treat me right. Tell him.
Hey, OBJ.
Tell him. That's why my numbers are terrible. The trainers.
Can you send Whitlock some?
No.
What size should you wear?
No. Listen, because I don't want them. Because you got to understand. I dislike celebrities. That's my issue. I don't like celebrities.
What they do?
10201 West Pico Boulevard. Send some shoes to LeVar, Marcellus, and TJ.
To my cousin.
They love celebrities.
I like free stuff.
Whitlock and Wiley, LeVar Arrington, and TJ Houshmandzadeh are back. Let's move to Cam Newton, who had surgery this week on his injured foot and is expected to make a full recovery by the spring. Carolina will have a decision to make about their franchise quarterback and are reportedly hoping to get a big haul for him in a trade, but he's not the only former top pick whose future is in doubt. Jameis Winston will be a free agent after this year and has been taking a lot of heat leading the NFL in interceptions. But the 25-year-old season looks remarkably similar to that of NFL legend, with Jameis' stats matching up line for line with Peyton Manning during his 25-year-old season back in 2001. All right, the question here is, what would you rather do? Trade for Cam Newton or sign Jameis Winston this offseason?
Anything that doesn't mean that Jameis is my quarterback. That's cold-blooded. I like Jameis. That's the homie.
No, you don't.
I do. But you know what? I love truth more than I love all things. I would say this. Cam Newton last seen on the football field when he looked like Cam Newton and healthy, I like what I saw. He was the MVP candidate. Can he return to that form is the greatest question mark right now. But it's not the same question mark when I look at Jameis Winston for two things. One, the turnovers, and a different era of football than Peyton Manning's. But still, turnovers are turnovers. He has 22 more giveaways than the next quarterback since he's been a quarterback in this league. That's too much. Two, the change of tides in the NFL in terms of quarterbacks, 2.0 mobile quarterbacks. What is Jameis? He's not an athletic quarterback. I think that was a misnomer. I don't think that he uses his legs to extend plays and get out the pocket. I think he has some good mobility within the tackles. But beyond that, he is an unathletic athlete in that respect. So for me, I don't have a high evaluation of him. I don't. I see the good things. I see the numbers. But I also see the inconsistency. I see the losses. And I say, for me, I'm going to roll the dice on Cam Newton going back and returning to form.
Yeah, I'm going with Cam as well. And I think if I want to win right now, I don't think there's a question that you say if you can get a hold of Cam and you stack
all
the two up
straight,
against
you're
one
right.
another.
All state straight starts. You're exactly right.
Well, we'll see. I mean, again, if he comes back and
he's
healthy,
he's
a proven winner. He's a talent. Here's another thing to offer into the informational bank. I'm not even paying y'all no mind.
As you should.
Cam Newton would be the perfect recipient when we talked about him needing a new environment and needing someone new to be under. Bruce Arians is one of the best guys to be around. He would be one of the best dudes.
Tampa should trade for Cam.
Yeah, I think so. I think that would
be.
I don't think that would be. I think that Bruce Arians would be able to tap into what's left in Cam Newton. And I think that Cam would be able to play.
Well, I'm going with Jameis Winston.
Oh.
I'm going with Jameis Winston, and Cam Newton will turn 31 in Maine. That's number one. So he's 6 years older than Jameis Winston. Number two, to get Cam Newton, I have to give up assets. Cam Newton is not going to change the fortune of my team. So if I have to give up draft picks to get you, that's number two. Jameis Winston can throw the football. He's not going to change and eliminate turning the ball over. He takes chances. But Jameis Winston is a better thrower of the football than Cam Newton.
He throws it well to the other team, too.
And he throws it well to his. You just look at the receivers.
Come on, TJ.
Look at Chris Godwin. You don't know who he is.
Yes, I do. And Mike Evans.
Yeah, because of Jameis Winston. Of course you do.
Whatever.
Of course you do.
Mike, I know who Mike Evans is.
Chris Godwin's been good.
Listen, you're going to take Jameis Winston. Receivers would Mike Evans, Chris Godwin. They'll take Jameis Winston over Cam Newton because they know if Cam Newton comes in there, they go from here to here.
TJ, what does a coach say? If you don't put on the game film and tell me one stat, I can tell you won that game. What is that stat?
Oh, always turnovers.
Damn.
Always.
So guess what?
But now listen,
I
don't
even gotta watch.
Real quick.
Jameis, I
know. Has Jameis Winston ever played with a defense that Cam Newton has played with? Ever?
It had
no
it had the some players.
He's had some pretty good.
The Tampa's had the players.
He's got one of the premier linebackers now, and David. Like he had who was the defensive lineman?
They got Shaq Barrett this year, that's leading the league in sacks. But again, overall defense, he's had some individual players.
Yeah.
But
he's
overall
never
defense,
had that type of defense that Cam Newton has been accustomed to his entire career.
We just
with Ron
had
Rivera
this
running that defense.
We just points. Had this conversation about franchise quarterbacks. Franchise quarterbacks will always overcome the in spite ofs. I don't see Jameis Winston overcoming the in spite ofs. In spite of everything we're talking about.
I lost my last eight starts in spite of.
Has Jameis Winston. Okay. Injury. He's been injured.
Jameis Winston has what?
He's
one winning season
now.
And that's 9-7?
He got the surgery.
One winning season?
TJ raised the excellent point that I just want y'all to understand.
What?
In this question. You're willing to trade major assets.
That's the team's assets. I'm trying to win. As a coach.
No.
Because the question was,
the coach knows what you need.
Both. It doesn't matter. Would you rather trade for Cam Newton?
How much are going to
give up? A big haul is what Carolina's looking for.
They're not going to get a big haul.
Or sign Jameis Winston to a very reasonable.
You're not going
to
get a big haul off of Cam Newton. So if you get a decent trade, I'm taking the trade because I think that
what's
the potential.
What's a decent trade?
Okay, but hold on. You could get Jameis Winston for $12 million to $15, $15 million.
Like, that's what he worth.
Like Jacoby Brissett. It's easy to get out of, and you got a guy who has a lot of talent. Now, do I think he'll ever overcome the stupid interceptions?
That's
and turnovers?
Do you guys think he's hit his ceiling, Jameis Winston?
No.
Do you think you don't think so? You
no,
think
he's still first has... year with Bruce Arians? No, he's going to get better. No. I'm going to get better.
I think you see what you get with him.
You know what? This is what I've always said about it. And I would do the Jameis deal because it's cheaper. Mm. I wouldn't have to give up the assets. But I've always compared Jameis to Gomer Pyle. See, he's really, I mean, oh, boy. He's that guy.
Dude, with Bruce Arians? Dude, he's old.
Hold on, TJ, I'm not done. There's some things about Gomer Pyle that you just can't take out of him. And so he's always going to be a little bit silly. He's good intention.
But he's a soldier.
Blah, blah, blah. But he's good intention. And so I get it. I don't think the turnover thing is
Gomer
fixable.
Wow.
His judgment on and off the field is bad. But it's cheaper. And you can get out from underneath him.
You're going to get what you pay for, too.
Boy, I'll tell you.
And here's the problem.
We sure going to enjoy winning these games together after y'all give me that 12, 13,
y'all leave that
14
boy
million.
Hey, I'm talking about him on the field. And I ain't talking about anything else. I'm looking at these books, and this is not the best Jameis Winston quarterback that we've seen. So there are some numbers that suggest there's a regression despite playing with Bruce Arians, which doesn't lend itself to your point that he has better football in front of him. Mm-hmm. Looks like maybe that even Bruce Arians can't get the best out of him, and that's not on Bruce Arians.
He's averaging 45 yards per game more passing.
Oh, that's great. But you also want to look at the fact that his touchdown interception ratio is not better. You want to also look at the fact that his quarterback rating is not better. I mean, it's been better the last 2 years when nobody was talking about Jameis Winston. Here's my thing. If you're a fan base, I'm a fan of the Denver Broncos outside of my love for the Chargers, outside of my love for the Bills. And I'm sitting there, and you go, you pull out the banner and say, our new franchise quarterback, Jameis Winston. How's that land? Anybody? You renewing tickets?
Not well.
Not well. That's my point. So it doesn't inspire a fan base. It doesn't inspire a team. Despite him having
Cam Newton does.
No. Day one, Cam Newton works. It does. It's exciting. Oh, my God. The possibilities.
Until September comes around.
It's like, what's going to happen in September, October, and November?
6-2 before I got banged up. That's not
his lost eight straight.
MVP.
Oh, yeah. You are what your record
says. You're trying to play through the injury. I try to tell these cats, always quit when you're hurt, but they don't want to listen to me. So now you go out there and put out bad film. But before the injuries, how was Cam Newton looking?
Not bad. He looked great. He looked great. I was
Jameis looking healthy or not.
I mean, Cam Newton can play. He's taking his team to a Super Bowl. But you're coming off of surgery, and you turn 31, and you got to give up assets to get him.
It creates excitement.
All right. Before we go. I have a few words of encouragement for Colin Kaepernick, LeBron James, and Megan Rapinoe, and any of the other Nike-sponsored finger-wagging agents of chaos. Justice and equality start at home. So perhaps Cap, Bron, and Rap might want to fly to Beaverton, Oregon today and join their social justice comrades protesting injustice at Nike headquarters. Yesterday morning, Nike employees marched across the company's sprawling campus to draw attention to their employer's mistreatment of women. Just so we're clear, the march had nothing to do with Nike's decades-long exploitation of female workers in Asia. No, this protest highlighted Just Do It's alleged debasement of American women. The protesters held up signs demanding that Nike empower women. According to the Wall Street Journal, this all started in 2018 when a group of women circulated a survey complaining about a pay disparity between men and women, inappropriate behavior by male employees, and a gender imbalance among top executives. Kaepernick, LeBron, and Rapinoe must be outraged learning of the unfairness alleged at Nike. I'm sure Cap plans to don one of his patented Kunta Kinte t-shirts in support of the freedom fighters in Beaverton And surely Brian and Rapinoe will join the silent symbol and dust off one of Nike's equality t-shirts. I understood their reluctance to involve themselves in the complicated, geopolitical, impossible to grasp communism versus freedom debate roiling in Hong Kong. Those types of complex international quagmires are best left to their white daddies. Guys like Rockets general manager Daryl Morey and NBA commissioner Adam Silver. I mean, you need at least an advanced GED degree or access to Wikipedia to dissect the intricacies between communist authoritarian rule and the freedoms provided by democracy. It's wholly unreasonable to expect athletes at the height of their competitive careers to wade into such deep political waters. Between his daily 5 a.m. workouts and monthly retweets of Sean Rachel Dolezal King, when would Kaepernick have time for Nessa to teach him about the ravages of communism? No, we shouldn't hold Cap, Bron, and Rap to an unfair standard. They are domestic freedom fighters. They are champions of American justice and equality. Speaking out against misogyny and the lack of equal pay at Nike is on brand and plays into the area of expertise and passion for Rapinoe, LeBron, and Kaepernick. Rap, Bron, and Cap are this generation's Rosa Parks, Martin Luther King, and Muhammad Ali. I'm sure they will stand with Beaverton and fight for freedom at Nike. And I'm sure all the woke members of sports media will choose to be on the right side of history and support the courageous stands that will soon be taken by LeBron, Kaepernick, and Rapinoe. Joined again by Greg Jennings and TJ Houshmandzadeh, let's move to Baltimore, where MVP frontrunner Lamar Jackson might have to just run into his first major obstacle this year, being listed as limited for yesterday's walkthrough with a quad injury. John Harbaugh said the injury occurred during their win over the Bills and is not serious. And Lamar did practice today, but on a limited basis. All right, should we be concerned about Lamar's injury?
No, because it's a quad. And I mean, when I say leg injuries, I'm like, is it a quad? Is it a hamstring? Is it a groin? Is it a calf? Different. Quad, most major muscle group, obviously the big boy in front. I played through some quad injuries, and I've seen other guys play through quad injuries and the way that you can wrap it, the way that you can limit yourself. And sometimes it's just quad contusions. Who knows what this is? Even if it's a strain, the quad can be compromised and still effective. Groin, ooh, hamstring, ah. So I'm not so concerned because of the location and injury. And he's a young man, he'll heal fast.
I hear you, but this is Lamar Jackson. This is the best team in football because of him. So I don't care if it was his pinky or his nail. I'm concerned, I'm cautious, I'm aware. Like, Lamar, you good? Mm. But one of the things that I love about the relationship with him and John Harbaugh is they have that trust factor. He can ask him a question, Lamar, how you feeling? You feel good? Because that's what it's going to take. Lamar, how you feeling? You good to go? Yes, coach, I'm good. Trust me. And then they'll move forward. So from that point, yes, I get you.
I'm not concerned. If you look at it, they play Thursday against the Jets. If this is a normal week, he's not even on the field Monday or Tuesday. And so if he was on the practice field today, in a normal week, he wouldn't practice until Wednesday.
Right.
We wouldn't even hear about this. And so for him to get out on the field today shows me it's very minor, albeit it could be in limited form and fashion. Now, there's somewhat concern because Baltimore is Baltimore because of his explosiveness and his ability to get on the edge regardless of how you're playing him. And so that is concerning. But no, today's a Tuesday. If it wasn't a short week, it wouldn't be a conversation at all.
I'm concerned because it's Lamar and his running has been such a big part of what's made him successful. And we had the conversation yesterday, like, did Buffalo give some clues or a blueprint to slowing Lamar? And if you watch that game, he took some hits in that game. That was one of the first games where he took some hits. I do like the fact they're playing on Thursday and it's the sorry Jets. You can be a much more conservative offense, take care of that, and then boom, 10 days off to recover. My concern, though, is, like, we're coming to the end of the season. I don't want this guy banged up in any way going into the playoffs. That's where it's – and, again, the people that have been questioned about sustainability is, like, can you get through the 16-game marathon and be healthy enough to do the same things you were doing in the regular season in the postseason.
Yeah, but to pop up on the injury report, got hit around the knee, which basically quad contusion. We all been there before. Mm-hmm. I broke a thigh pad one time. Dude hit me so hard, broke the thigh pad into the thigh. All you have to do is, when you're at home, you got to sit there with it flexed. And then when you're not flexed, ice it down, and it's going to be sore. A little golf ball pops up. Massage that out. Get your butt out there and play. So all these handoffs, let me tell y'all one thing. Lamar is not pulling it.
He is not pulling it.
He is handing it
off. I was going to get to that. So are we going to see a different version of Lamar Jackson because of this? This is why. And again, he's evolved. He obviously can throw the ball and be effective in the pocket. But we are and we should expect to see a different version of Lamar Jackson.
But Greg, you know what? You just made me think of a great point about how beloved Lamar is in that Baltimore locker room. It reminds me of the way Brett Favre and the way when his dad died, people stood up for him and people got all, oh, Brett Favre played such a great game. It was like, no. His teammates stood him in the gap and played a great game. And that's what I expect to see from Baltimore. Yeah. They're going to rally the defense. I'm talking about both special teams. Everybody's going to like, okay, let me do it. Lamar's carried us this far. Let's carry him tonight. Let's get him through this game, 10 days off.
Get him off the field early, quick.
Yeah, that would be great. Uncle Jimmy's here to help us talk about our approval rating for Patriots coach Bill Belichick. But first,
you know.
Who's your big dummy of the day?
Sherlock. Big dummy of the day go to the person that sat up here and talked bad about OBJ for giving out tennis shoes to his whole team. Evidently, you forgot that you gave the whole staff Adidas's 2 years ago.
Oh, I wasn't here.
I wasn't either, but I sure heard about it at the control room.
Uh-huh. Did you pay for them, Wick?
I did not.
Uh-huh. That was an authentic gift.
I did not.
Damn. See how that worked?
I do.
All right, Sherlock, homie. Let's talk Bill Belichick.
Sherlock, that's my name.
Who is under scrutiny once again after the Patriots admitted a team camera crew was filming the Bengals sideline during last week's Cincinnati-Cleveland game. The Patriots say the whole thing was an accident, and Belichick said he had no involvement. Marcellus, you buying this whole thing as one big accident?
Oh, no. I'm buying this on purpose, but not for the purpose of Bill Belichick to coach the New England Patriots. Don't think it was about football operations. It's a big organization. Things happen at all big corporations and organizations, so doesn't all have to land on Bill Belichick's lap. So I think for him, he's absolved of all guilt.
Bill Belichick knows when Tom Brady takes a poop, but he doesn't know what his advanced scout is doing.
Advanced scout, too, huh? Not even just a normal scout. I just said that. I don't know.
All right, Uncle Jimmy. No. You have a take on Bill Belichick and Spygate 2.0?
Yes, I do, as a matter of fact. Right now, let me tell you what Roger Goodell and the NFL need to do.
Yeah.
They need to hire Uncle Jimmy for this investigation.
Yeah, okay.
Now, look here. As y'all know, I got a lot of experience in law enforcement and detective work. Look, you don't get to where I am in the game. You don't get to have 5 successful ex-marriages without learning how to deal with a whole bunch of lies, games, deceits, and shenanigans.
Yeah, okay.
That's look at man, hell, I caught my 4th ex-wife, Sweaty Betty, caught her cheating red-handed. Hell, all I had to do was follow the trail of bacon grease and ran right up on her ass. Look, so I'm trying to tell y'all, if y'all, Uncle Jimmy can get to the bottom of this mess, PDQ.
PDQ.
What's that?
Pretty damn quick. Hell, take me less than a day.
To get to the bottom of Spygate 2.0.
Look, what's your face? What Roger Goodell and you, dummy, need to understand is, listen to me, man. Belichick is a made man in the NFL.
Mm-hmm.
Y'all heard talk of the Teflon Don?
Yeah. John Gotti?
Yeah, well, now we talking about a real-life gangster. Bulletproof Bill, baby. Rumor is the man made his bones in the old country of Cleveland. So you got to put speck on his name. So I promise you, if Uncle Jimmy conducts this investigation, and I will handle it with the delicatessenness that it needs to be. See, because if not, a lot of people gonna get hurt.
Yeah.
Including you, dummy.
Me, huh?
Look here, what Roger Goodell needs is the appearance of a complete and thorough investigation.
Mm-hmm.
And the key word in that sentence is appearance.
Appearance.
See, Uncle Jimmy can guarantee that Bulletproof Bill will be exonerated at the end of this investigation.
You understand what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Uh-huh.
Yeah.
Look, there are some crimes that they're called victimless. Mm. You understand? In other words, man, we talking about the Bengals. They ain't got no fans. Who's the victims? You laughing. Let's get back to you, Juicy Nole. Look here, let me just get this right. You saying that Bill Belichick should be held accountable for pictures that other people send him.
Yeah.
Unsolicited.
Uh-oh. Yeah. Don't answer
Think
that.
About it.
Don't answer
Think
that.
Think about it.
No.
Fellas, you think it's real funny when you go, I don't know why she sent me that picture. Now, let's be 100, fellas. Mm-hmm. You ever look through your girl's phone and think you at the produce section of Vons? All you see is eggplants, cucumbers, bananas. And she look over your shoulder talking about, I ain't asked him to send me that. Look here, man. Right is right. Wrong is wrong. And it ain't no in the middle.
Ray, right, right.
Hey, Lee. Hey, Lee.
Belichick's no longer a GOAT. Right. He fell to a 73.
Wow.
All-star.
Why?
Yeah. Yeah.
You gotta Wapolis go, got to
witness. Due process. What happened to that? What happened to actually finding me? Where's the smoking gun? Give me something.
Kyle. Oh, man. The internet still has him at GOAT status.